How we doing, guys? Today I'm unfortunately not going to be able to be on a walk during this podcast. It's a little bit windy outside, and I know it sort of puts a little bit of pressure on the headphones, so I'm going to do this one inside and then join you on your walk with the re-listen, because this one is definitely going to need a re-listen, because we have Pete Hartwig, a very special guy down, one of our very own from Brisbane, in Australia. So it's going to be bloody awesome to have a chat with him, because he just recently came through after 20 years of competing, essentially, and, you know, just being obsessed with his body and being obsessed with just optimizing himself. He was able to finally, as a lifetime natural athlete, win his IFBB pro card. And that is, I really hope you can understand just how amazing that is to be able to do. The IFBB, as we've spoken about in other podcasts, is just one of the most incredible federations that there is. So to be able to be up against those guys as a lifetime natural is just amazing. He goes into a lot of depth on his own YouTube channels and about that, and he's been tested, and he's gone through all the hoops that you need to, and he's come out on top in the most recent Arnold Classic Australia, which was cancelled. The expo was cancelled, but the show did go on, so he was able to compete, and I can't wait to talk to him about it, because he's been a little bit quiet since that happened, and obviously he's not going to be able to have his debut in the IB Pro League anytime soon, but all the less it gives him some time to prepare, which I'm excited to hear all about. So let's jump in with him now, and yeah, have a good time, guys.
Challenge and sort of kind of interesting. Like, I filmed a home workout the other day, and it sort of forced me to brush up on revise some old skill sets, because I used to do a lot of calisthenics before I got into weights, and then it's just like it's been a while since I've done them, so it was like oh it's good to revisit some of these, and sort of had to Google some stuff to sort of get some new ideas and that sort of stuff as well. So it's kind of been pretty interesting.
Yeah, I've personally been loving it, and you know, it forces you to reuse some of these old training intensity techniques that you just haven't really thought about or actually had to use, because progressive overload's always been an option, and now we're starting to find some other little techniques, and I'm not even find, but just revisit them and use them again. And yeah, man, I've been loving it. So look, I've already given you a little bit of an intro, but I want to go through, because I have to start off firstly by congratulating you on your most recent win, which I could imagine would have to be one of your most satisfying wins at the Arnold Amateur 2020. How was it, man?
Yeah, it was really good. It was amazing. I guess as much as you can interpret things in that kind of state, because I depleted myself really hard to get that lean. I guess the last couple of weeks you get that kind of brain fog and everything. So I guess things just sort of feel a bit different. But yeah, it was still just an amazing experience. It was just interesting, because the whole time it was like, I'm getting ready for this show, I'm competing, and then it's like, every other show around is getting cancelled, and then it's just like, we cancelled the expo, and then it's just like, I guess the competition's off, and then it's like, it's back on again, and then the restrictions kept getting tighter and tighter, and it's just sort of leading up to show day, like, is it actually going to go ahead? And eventually it was like, restricted to, you know, I think maximum 60 spectators, and everyone's spaced out and everything like that. But it was just an amazing experience after so long, because it was 2015 that I did my first Arnold Classic show in Australia, and then came runner up then, and then a bunch of other times since, and then finally 5 years later, taking the overall title and getting a pro card. It was pretty amazing, to be honest.
Yeah, look, and I know it must right now, or when that in that moment it must have felt like that this is the start of a new chapter, but let's be honest, man, this is no new thing for you. You've been winning so many so many competitions over the last 14 years. You know, just to name a few, we have the Mr. Australia, we have the Mr. Natural Olympia, in the bodybuilding and the classic, which is just mind-boggling to me, and I'd love to hear a little bit more about that. We've won the Muscle Mania lightweight. We've two Arnold Classics with the lightweights. We got the Classic Physique overall finally this year. Was this your best condition to date? Was this the best that you ever looked?
I think so, yeah. I guess it's always going to be a bit of a subjective thing. And I guess I'd say, like, conditioning wise, it was probably my best. I actually went into this one with quite a few injuries. And so it was a little bit 50-50 whether I was going to pull out because I haven't trained my chest properly for, I'd say, over 6 months due to some shoulder problems. So I noticed a little bit of mass lost on my chest. So I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be able to beat my previous condition or previous look, because a lot of times when I step on stage, I guess part of it is about, oh, I'm trying to be competitive, I'm trying to win, I'm trying to get as far as I can. But I guess the main part is just trying to compete against myself and trying to basically improve upon what I have been able to do before, or at least deliver something that I'm really happy with in terms of, you know, I put together a cool routine or something that I can be proud of. And I guess part of it was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to have a fuller look than I did last time because of some injuries restricting my training. But it's just like I can definitely come in more diced, and I think I was able to do that in terms of like striations and definition and just how lean I got. I'd say it's probably the leanest I've ever been.
Yeah, I've been sort of having a look all the way through and having a look at some photos, and I would have to agree with you there, man. And that's interesting. I wasn't too sure about where your injury was, but the fact that it's around your chest, what I did notice throughout this prep as well was that your back has just grown significantly and substantially. Like, it's been amazing. Was that due to, did you find yourself training back a little bit more than usual because of the chest injury?
No, not really. To be honest, I don't know if my back has actually gotten that much bigger. It could just be like a relative proportion thing that it maybe looks a little bigger because a few like maybe chest and shoulders have shrunk a tiny bit. Or I would say also some muscles for me pop a lot more. Like my shape really changes a lot going from the last couple of kilos down. So when I'm say 3 kilos above stage weight, I look drastically different to when I dropped that last 3 kilos. Like it's insane how much difference that makes. And then to take it that little bit further and just bring everything in that little bit tighter, it just makes everything pop a little bit more. So I actually came in lighter for this show than I have for previous shows that I've done. So I don't think I've actually grown any additional gained any additional muscle on my back. I think it probably just looks a little bigger because my waist probably come in a little bit tighter, and just being able to see the shape and contours around that by not having as much body fat there. So yeah, that's what I think it is.
Well,
Yeah.
that's one of yeah, well, that's one of the most that's something that you are pretty much the godfather of at this point. And that is the posing and, you know, making muscles look different, you know, during your posing routines and while you're on stage, which I can't wait to talk about. Now, you did say you were down a little bit lighter and you went so you were was this your lightest showing since sort of like you've come up in like your natural Olympias?
I would say it's probably the lightest weight I've got down to in, I would say, probably the last 5 or 6 years, to be honest.
Do you, yeah, do you, does much of that have to contribute to bringing Brandon Kemter on in those last couple of weeks?
Oh, maybe a little. We didn't really get a lot of chance to. We only worked together for about I would say 2.5, 3 weeks. We didn't really get to, I guess, you know how you go through prep with someone, you sort of get to understand what happens to their body when you sort of manipulate their calories up or down or change the ratios, protein, all this sort of stuff. It was kind of just like, last minute thing. I'm just like, look, I've just won the state title. I really want to bring my best, and mostly just want to bounce some ideas off and get some ideas on what you think about a good peak week strategy is. So originally it was just going to be just a consult, and just after chatting about a few things, I'm like, you know what, this would be really good to have a little bit more accountability to go with this and sort of have a bit of a strategy in place as well, because being a coach myself, I do like to I have my own ideas, and I sort of know my own body really well. So I kind of like to be like, all right, this is what I'm going to do. But what do you think about it? And then maybe give me some suggestions. And then what he did do is he pulled my calories down a little lower. So I typically go really low calories the last couple of weeks, but kind of cycle calories a little bit more. So I kind of go 3 to 5 days in a really drastic deficit, and then bump up to close to maintenance too. So it's one of the reasons I've been able to keep that fullness, is I never really just diet like crazy. Well, if I do diet really hard, it's kind of in short bursts, and then muscle maintenance, short bursts, muscle maintenance. And I find that it allows me to not flatten out as much as a lot of other guys really flatten out. In that time. But he was just like, all right, we'll just bring you in, we'll just flatten you right out, and we'll just go. The last, I think, 11 days or so was just that 1,000 calorie deficit, and just crazy, just depleting. I was already pretty lean at that stage, so I'd say that it did help, definitely, to bring that conditioning in. And it sort of I would say that it definitely definitely helped.
Yeah. And look, I think by doing it that way as well, so you said that you normally have a bit more of a wave approach, so you know, you'll drop down and then come back up to maintenance, drop down, come back up to maintenance. Yeah. That ties almost perfectly into what I really want to start talking to you about, because one of my favorite quotes from you is, the most underrated aspect of building a physique you can be proud of is time. You know, it has to be something that you're doing long term, and by doing that sort of wave approach where you're not spending too long in a deficit, like a consecutive time in a deficit, how important is that to be able to do this long term?
Oh yeah, absolutely crucial. I think it's just one of the most important things. I guess the way that I sort of look at it myself, and I guess when I'm doing it for clients as well, is I guess I like to look at like the big picture and then break it down into like smaller chunks of time and sort of go from there. But having that time is really kind of crucial. And ideally, if I had a couple of extra weeks, I probably would have kept that wave approach all the way through, because I do believe that it is a better approach. But I guess sometimes you do modify your strategies just based on that time limit. Sometimes it's like, well, optimally, I would, you know, have 4 to 6 weeks extra to do this or whatever, but it's just like, this is where I'm at and this is the time that I'm given. So it's just like, sometimes you just go hard for that. But I think in terms of maintaining it as a lifestyle, it's really crucial, particularly like what I've found with rebounding after comps is that I normally rebound pretty hard and then have to sort of work my way back down into maintenance. But if I try and stay in deficit for too long, it's just it just messes with everything. Like your whole body just functions kind of worse if you just stay there for too long.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely one of those people as well who tends to rebound pretty hard after shows. In both shows, I lost and gained the same amount of weight. So within, you know, 10 days, I was back at my starting weight before I started the comp prep. And yeah, it can be pretty degrading. And I think things would have been a little bit different if there was that little bit more of a flexible approach and, you know, just add a little bit of a perspective of like, you know, we're going to have to take that little bit more time to get to where we need to. I definitely started with probably a little bit too high of a body fat percentage. When I first started it, I was probably around, my DEXA scan came in at 16, but I have a feeling I was a little bit more than that. And yeah, like just trying to drop that fast and just being in a constant deficit essentially for 16 to 20 weeks, it can take quite a toll. And especially if you want to do as many shows of you as you have, you know, which is over 40 shows, it has to be something you can do very long term. So how long do you normally actually prep for when you actually say, all right, I'm going into a contest? How much time do you normally
spend? That's an interesting prep question. Ideally, I'd probably give myself, you know, maybe like 16 weeks, I guess. But maybe 20. But a lot of times it's just like, when people ask me that, I kind of answer like there's this kind of blurred line between prep and not prep, because I actually started dieting in July last year. So I guess technically I was dieting, what's that, almost 9 months or something for this show. But basically, I guess when was it just regular dieting and when did the prep start? Because I only decided to compete about 8 weeks out, but I was basically training and dieting as if I was prepping for something, but I just didn't have anything in mind. So I guess that's sort of how my lifestyle sort of blends across, just very organically into doing a prep, is that, okay, had a, you know, a bit of a blowout after my previous season of competitions and a few other things, and then sort of maintained a little bit higher body fat for a little while, and thought, you know what, I'm just going to cut this down. And then I sort of just kept cutting, and then at some point I'm like, well, actually, I'm going to compete. And then it's sort of hard to know, oh, how long was my prep? I guess ideally I would probably do, you know, like 16 to 20 weeks, but yeah, in this case, I guess when I definitively decided that, okay, this is a prep, it was probably only eight weeks. But I guess that's just life in general, is that I mean, if I was just doing just competition and I didn't have all these other, you know, life responsibilities, like, I guess, you know, work and then, you know, friendships, and then, you know, if you move or other stuff going on, you can kind of orientate everything around that and be like, okay, this is my year, I'm going to do a prep from this time to this time. But for me, I guess with a few things being chaotic, it's kind of just like fitting it in whenever I can, kind of thing, and being like, oh, actually, this is a great opportunity. I mean, I'm within, you know, striking distance now to get that lean. I may as well take that opportunity as it comes, because I guess there's other factors in there as well, like with the injuries and that sort of stuff as well. Because I guess ideally prep out like, you know, 16 to 20 weeks and then map it out like, all right, I'm going to diet, you know, this long in deficit, and then I'm going to have like the diet break for this long, and then I'm going to do this, and then this is what it's going to look like. But then something could come up and be like, oh, you know, I've got to move house, or it's just like, oh, you know, I broke my arm, or something happens that drastically changes that, and you might have to push it back. So yeah, I kind of don't always set out like ideal times and structure for that. But I guess if I had to ideally plan it, I'd probably say 16 to 20 weeks. But most of the time, I'm sort of just working with what's right in front of me, and then sort of having an idea of the macro picture and being like, okay, cool, I know I need this long to get ready and to get into this kind of condition and that sort of thing. But then just focusing on what the actual situation deals me in the present time.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I think that staying close, like you said, within striking distance is probably the best way to go if you plan on doing this for a long time, you know, keeping relatively lean. I think there was a big stigma back in the day where people would obviously, dirty bulk, for the lack of a better word, and just put on a lot of weight, and not always quality weight. And yeah, I'm really happy to see that that's slowly starting to fade out. And we're looking at more of like trying to keep that physique almost all year round. Obviously not competition physique, but like you said, being able to just sort of decide on the fly, you know what, that's a show that I want to do, that looks good, and just being able to go for it right then and there. I love that sort of
approach. Yeah, absolutely.
So look, so my demographic as a coach at the moment, I'm working out of Anytime Fitness. So I work with a lot of people that are sometimes maybe just getting into training for the very first time, or, they love training and they've done really well with themselves, but they're not very sure about what it actually takes to get to a body like yours. Because when we look at you, it's not that, when some people that aren't really too familiar with bodybuilding, they see some of the open guys and they're just like, oh, I never want to be that big, and then it almost looks a little bit off-putting to some people. I don't think I've ever heard that about yourself. So can we talk to the listeners about how, it's going to sound like a silly question, but how long would it take to reach a body like yours? What does it take?
Yeah, I would say, well, for me, I've been training with weights for over 20 years now, but I would say that it kind of has this law of diminishing returns. So, because that can be very off-putting for people, like how long did it take to build your physique? Oh, 20 years. You'd be like, oh, well, I may as well not try, kind of thing. But you have like an increased return on the investment you put into your training and dieting, I would say within the first probably 5 or 6 years. So I would say that the bulk of my physique was built probably within the first, I would say, 5 years. So from when I started training properly, you have this massive, almost like exponential increase in what you can gain. I guess like you call it newbie gains, particularly if you start relatively young. So, as a teenager or early 20s, you basically can build a fair bit of muscle in quite a short period of time by, I guess, focusing on the foundational movements and getting really good at those technique-wise, but then just progressively overloading with structured training for several years, you can build a pretty decent physique, I would say, in about 5 or 6 years because after the first, I would say, 6 years, it's kind of like training. You don't really get a lot of additional gains for the amount of time you're putting into the gym. You might, be gaining, like when you start out, maybe a kilo every couple of months of solid mass, and then that drops back to, maybe half a kilo every couple of months, which drops back to maybe half a kilo to a kilo a year, which eventually just flattens right out. The last 5 years, I haven't actually added any stage weight. I basically compete at the same weight, or this year even lighter, but basically just coming a little bit harder, a little bit denser, kind of thing. So it does, that curve like goes, it spikes up really, really quickly when you first get started. So and then flattens out over time. So I would probably say, to build a really decent physique, or build a physique like mine, I would say absolute minimum, probably 5 or 6 years to get the foundations. And then you probably need another 4 or 5 years to refine it. So you're probably looking at least probably 10, even though I've been training for 20, it's just, building that physique and then kind of maintaining it and just slowly chipping it away and making it better over time. But I guess the other thing is it's become like just a lifestyle and a process for me that sort of helps create discipline and structure, which carries over into a lot of other elements of life. So it's not just about the results and the return. I think that can be a problem that people do have, is that they focus just on the return, and muscle takes a long time to build. So if you're just looking at the scales and just being like, well, I want to gain 10 kilos within the next 12 weeks, I just think that's probably not the best approach. If you focus on, all right, I want to get really good at squats, I want to get really good at, you know, deadlifting and, you know, doing these specific movements and creating good structure and good routine, and you start to enjoy the progression that you see with your training over time, you're going to build a really good physique anyway. But I think, yeah, just coming back to my previous quotes, one of the most underrated factors in building physique is definitely time, because I think a lot of people don't have as much patience, or maybe just don't understand how long it does take. But I feel like a lot of people doing this sport sort of understand that, but I guess it can be also just I guess how much people really want it or enjoy it. And I guess the more competent you become at it, the more it can start to improve that motivation and adherence as well.
Well, yeah, that's where I sort of come from. You know, I think a lot of people come in with just super high expectations, you know, and I think what a sort of a lot of other people hear is, you know, maybe they hear about bodybuilding contests and they say, you know, it's a 16-week cut, or, you know, it's a 16-week prep. And so people think that, oh, it only takes 16 weeks to get to a certain physique, but, you know, it does take that 5 to 10 years prior to be able to only have that 16 weeks to chisel away the fat to see what you've built over 10 years. You know, that's something that has to be understood by everybody, that it does take that time, and things are always better when you do take the time. You know, nothing good comes short-lived. You want to be able to enjoy this process and get the most out of it, because when you do that and you actually take that time to enjoy the little bits, and you never know what you'll find along the way. You know, I think just being able to put in the time to training and exercising, and no matter how it is, you know, like you said for yourself, you started with calisthenics training, and you never would have thought at that moment when you were doing that calisthenics style training that you would end up to where you are now. You know, it's this healthy progression because you are just consistently doing it, and it's sometimes a good anchor to your day as well. You know, like having that one part of your day, you know, especially now considering a lot of us are staying at home, that workout and of whatever it is that you decide to do, whether it may be a walk, whether it be home gym exercises, or, you know, anything, it can be a nice little way to anchor your day and then build your habit around it, and then let it turn into whatever it wants.
Absolutely. It just, yeah, all those things just really really helps with just overall, I guess, life structure.
Yeah. Now, you also talk about being obsessed with the human body, because you've done exercise physiology, you know, you are a sports, you've done sports dietitian studies, you've really tried to sort of nail everything around health optimization, body optimization, and you tend to talk to yourself, you sort of say that you see your body, or you are an artist, you know, you look at it at that. So give us a little bit more insight to that. What do you mean by you being an artist?
I guess it pertains to, I guess, so many different aspects in my life. I guess I see things and I have this obsession with just creating things, or just trying to make things interesting. So I guess I'm not just with bodybuilding. I guess I like to do a whole heap of stuff. Like, I guess I've done like performing and painting and storytelling as well. But I guess specifically with bodybuilding, I guess it's not just about trying to build as much muscle and get as lean as possible. I guess bringing artistry to it by providing something interesting. So it's like some sort of it's almost like you're treating your body like it's a sculpture, basically. And it's just like, okay, well, how do I want to build this, and how is the best way to do that? And then also, not just in terms of building, but also in terms of presentation as well, which is, I guess, where a lot of that artistic flair really comes into it, because I guess the way that you present yourself in terms of posing can make a huge difference, and you're basically creating almost like some sort of artistic performance. Like when I put together a routine, or even when I'm just using different types of transitional moves in between poses, it conveys something very different depending on how you move. So you can You know, you can move slow, you can move quick, you can have different posing selections, you can move slow, you can move rigid, and all these things just create a different story that you're basically telling with your body on stage. That's, I guess, where I view the artistry in terms of, I guess, creating the sculpture, but then presenting the sculpture to create like an artistic performance where you're basically that thing.
Yeah, 100%. And I think when it comes to posing, you know, especially for the classic physique, you know, I like the fact that classic has opened up to, you know, not making it much about, you know, it's a little bit less of a size game. So, you know, you're able to really express yourself and just focus on, like you said, refining, which is something that even Chris Bumstead talks about with his classic wins. You know, he always talks about it. He's not trying to be the biggest, and he's looking at, instead of, I think something that happens when, you know, people think bodybuilding, they think about just mass muscle. You know, everyone's trying to just create as much muscle as possible. But, you know, we are trying to create an art form. You know, we are trying to create something that is aesthetically pleasing, you know, to your eye or to what the judges are looking for. And posing is so much more of that than people think. And, you know, until you go for a practice posing session, you know, with someone that understands it like yourself, I personally use Vicky from ICN down in Melbourne, and you go to one of these sessions or workshops, and you don't realize just how different you can make yourself look with just by, you know, turning a few things and changing a few things. And, you know, you can just change the way you look completely. You can take kilos and weight off you so much. Now, should something that I sort of look into as well is, because when we're looking at progress photos, so let's say we're doing like an 8-week challenge or a 12-week challenge, how do you feel, or how do you get your clients to pose for their general? If they're not looking into getting into bodybuilding, how would you get them to pose in a normal before and after?
In a normal before and after, normally just a series of relaxed poses. So arms down by sides, shoulders back, facing the front, same thing to the side, same thing to the back. And then I'd normally do like one pose that they want. Most people do a double bicep, just facing the front. Basically just to compare those before and after, so you can see, oh, what do they look like when they're completely relaxed and nothing's there? But also, oh, how do they look when they're flexed? So just to see a little bit more definition and see what's actually happening there. So yeah, that's pretty much just those that I would use.
Yeah, I think, you know, what I'm sort of getting at, especially if someone has a little bit more, the higher the body fat, you know, sometimes the more important I think it is to flex just a little bit more, because I think sometimes, you know, you can come in and look and just go very relaxed. And if you take completely relaxed and you are starting at 20%+ body fat, you know, you can lose a lot of weight. You can lose 8+ kilos and not really see much of a difference. So, you know, sometimes I do like to get people to, you know, flex just a little bit harder and actually make themselves try and look good in their first photos so that they can do the same in their second photos. And it actually gives them a little bit of a better,
Absolutely. So I guess it's more uniform across photo to photo. It definitely makes a huge difference in terms of presentation, being able to really show it off. Like, you could take a before and after like on the same day, and basically just have a little bit of posing tips in between, and sort of just change the way that it will make their end result turn out.
Yeah, and it just changes the way your whole body flows. And, you know, at the end of the day, I think for most of us, I hope, you know, we're not really trying to chase numbers on the scale. We're not trying to chase, you know, some imaginary number. You know, we are trying to achieve a look, and a part of that look is being very conscious of how you look, you know, and keeping your waist nice and controlled, and, you know, finding your angles and having fun with it. You know, I think that's a big part of it, and learning about what it takes to make certain areas look better. And it can sometimes, to the outside world, seem a little bit vain, but, you know, I think everyone deserves to look good. And, you know, something that is awesome on what you're achieving with the Encyclopedia of Posing, which you have created. Yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so the Encyclopedia of Posing, basically is a online resource created to help bodybuilding and classic physique athletes learn how to pose. So essentially, I guess I was and still doing like, well, I guess up until the COVID thing, but basically prior to that, I was doing a lot of posing coaching. And I guess rather than just doing a lot of one, I thought, oh, you know, it'd be really cool to package it up and put it together into a full resource with a whole bunch of video tutorials that people can learn from. And so, yeah, I put together this posing resource that has, it goes through, yeah, pretty much as much stuff as I could think of and wrote at the time. So it goes through mobility, exercises and warm-ups to prepare for the posing, goes through vacuum training, goes through symmetry posing, muscularity posing, and the whole heap of classic poses as well. And then it has a segment on transitions and routines as well, because I like to treat those as separate moves, because I feel like they're a lot of times underrated, where people will focus on the poses and how they get from one pose to the next. If it looks sloppy, then their posing can look quite clunky, even if the actual pose itself looks good. So I have a fair bit on that as well. And then how to create your routines and everything as well. But basically, yeah, it's an online resource that has, it's a 113-page ebook that has all these snapshots just step by step, like move your right foot, point the toe out, and it's got a snapshot of that. And then they'll have the next position to move in, so the people can basically just follow it step by step. But it's also got 43 video tutorials as well. So I much prefer to learn from video as opposed to, say, like a book, just basically, oh, watch what this person's doing as they explain it, copy it, kind of thing. So it basically is there so that people can basically follow it and learn it. So yeah, essentially it's just basically taking what I've sort of developed over the last since I've been bodybuilding now, competing for 10 years, taking that and then teaching it.
It's so cool. And whether people like it or not, posing wins shows, you know, especially if you are competing in the classic divisions, and I would almost argue the physique divisions as well. What made posing so important to you? Was it something that happened in one of your shows that made you realize it was such an important aspect? What made you get so into that side of the bodybuilding?
I guess I kind of just fell into it a little bit. I think part of it's probably just to do with my personality. I'd like just the aspect of it, and I guess like I was saying before, with the artistry of it and just creating art, creating something interesting and entertaining. And I guess going to bodybuilding shows myself and sort of watching people pose and the different routines and stuff like that, sometimes it can be quite flat and quite boring to watch. So a lot of times, you know, you wouldn't get tons of people going to the shows unless there was someone big name competing, or unless they're going to support a friend or family member, because I guess, you know, it might not be as interesting or as entertaining as, you know, like a football game and stuff like that for some people anyway. Yeah, just having some sort of element where there's a little bit more diversity and interest between what people bring to the stage, and it sort of just creates that little bit of entertainment factor as well. And I just found that appealing. But also I just like moving to music and creating stuff when it's just like, oh, you know, I did my first couple of shows and you have to put together a 1 minute routine. It's just like, oh, you have an opportunity to present something that's unique to yourself. I just kind of enjoyed that, and being like, oh, I get to pick the music and I get to pick the poses. And the first couple of routines, they might not have been very good, but I think it was just kind of a fun thing to do to create something like that and express a bit more individuality and create this like mini piece of art that you get to present to an audience. That's probably what drew me into it. And I actually really sucked at posing to start off with. It was probably 2006. The first show I ever did, I got some feedback that I think I placed third, and it was your conditioning was great, and you have like really good, you know, round muscle bellies and a lot of fullness, but your posing, what just you need to improve your posing. If you do that, you know, you probably win. And yeah, so I think it's just something I didn't take all that seriously to start off with. And then once I sort of learned and got into it a little bit more, sort of gradually progressed. Like I said, it actually became fun. And it was just like interesting to focus on. And I guess as you start to get better at something, you can kind of get a little bit addicted to it as well. I guess it's the same with, like, you know, lifting. You start to get really good at some specific lifts, and you're kind of like, actually, you know, I love deadlifting now, because I go in and I put some decent weight on there and I get to rep it out and see that progression. You get addicted to that progression, kind of thing. It's the same sort of thing. You start to put some stuff together and it starts to look really good, and you're like, actually, this is kind of good, this is fun. Yeah, so I guess it kind of stemmed from that.
Oh, man, that is so cool and so true as well. You know, you're always going to find the thing that you become proficient. You know, once you start getting good at something, of course you're going to do more of it, and you're going to become, you know, you're going to become encapsulated by it, you know, like with working out and things like that. So how often do you actually pose now? Like, how often do you actually practice it? Let's say when you're in an on season and then an off season.
Yeah. I would say, like, off season, not a ton, I guess. It sort of varies.
Depends
how I look, how I feel. In off season, it's kind of a go with the flow sort of thing. It's kind of just like, because I was like, oh, actually, I don't really do any deliberate practice, but it's sort of more incidental practice that I do. It might be like, oh, you know, I'm promoting a sale for posing coaching or something like that. We're going to create some marketing material for that, and be like, oh, you know what would be cool if we went out to these different scenic locations and just did some posing, you know, over the cliffs or over the beach or something like that. That would look really cool. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, actually, why not create a cool artistic montage out of this? And then do that. And then other times it's kind of just like, oh, actually, you know, it's good to brush up on these skills, you know, in case I do a show soon, or you know, just for the purposes of coaching others as well, just to make sure I'm still, you know, relevant with it and everything as well. So I'd say it's less structured and quite sporadic. So maybe a couple times a week, but sometimes it can be every day for a couple of weeks, and then I might skip a week or something like that. But it is, I'd say, pretty regularly, but it's just a bit more sporadic in the off season. And then as I decide to do a prep, it becomes way more rigid and way more structured. So I'd be like, okay, cool. Every morning I'll do posing, normally 5 days a week. They're not even that long sessions. Like, sometimes I set myself a goal of minimum, say, you know, 15, 20 minutes. So it's not massive, but some sessions stand out for a lot longer, particularly when I'm doing routine practice or getting into it and doing conditioning sessions. I treat it similar to, I guess, how you would treat other performance skills as well. So looking at, okay, how long do I actually hold each pose for? And then, you know, doing rounds at that, and then slightly above, slightly before. And then just trying to mimic basically what I would have to do on the stage, but then make it just a fraction harder, so that by the time I get to the stage, I can make it look a little easier.
I like that. And, you know, that puts a bit of perspective with it as well, you know, making it harder in the training session so that it becomes so easy in the actual competition aspect, which, you know, is a very good mind game to play. You know, you want that day when you step up on stage and everyone actually is looking at you for it to feel fluent and for it to feel like there's some sort of flow. If you're thinking about it too much, everybody can notice up on that stage.
I was just gonna say, one sec, do you mind if I'll just quickly switch these headphones? It's just like it seems to be cutting in, cutting out just a little bit. I don't know if it's my headphones or the connection, but I'm just gonna switch them over. I'll be like, one second.
Yeah, no problem, mate.
Okay. Okay, how's that? Can you hear me? Okay, awesome.
I can
hear
you great, man.
Okay, I'll just switch the headphones over. Audio, I think it sounds a little clearer on my end now.
Yeah, same for you. It sounds a little bit more.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Beautiful. All good, man. We're pretty much going to start wrapping up. What I do want to touch on before we finish up is a little bit more about food and nutrition during the lockdown. I think that's where people are going to be struggling the most. I am predicting a hell of a lot of weight gain during this time, which I don't necessarily think is a good or a bad thing, but regardless of what I think, I know it can be quite damaging to people's mental health, by just not moving as much and by putting on weight, and it just creates these really bad cascade effects all the way down if they're not in the right mindset and they're not doing some sort of regimented training. Do you have any advice for people that are struggling with their food right now?
I think the biggest thing is just trying to create habits, like trying to create routine and structure, but just starting small as well. I think sometimes people can put a lot of pressure on themselves to really turn things completely upside down, and then can get disheartened when it doesn't work out, particularly when your whole routine might be quite chaotic. You know, if you've had to reorientate your whole job or livelihood, because a lot of people have had to, particularly those in the fitness industry. A lot of other industries in general. So if there's a lot of other stuff in chaos and you're trying to rebuild most of your life, and then all of a sudden you're trying to turn your eating habits upside down and sort of build another plan from scratch as well, I think even just starting small, like could be like a habit, like, all right, I need to drink, 3 liters of water a day, and keep my calories under a certain thing, whatever, and then be a little bit looser with other areas, or whatever the goal is. I think just creating structure and routine to start off with, and basically over time that'll just become an automatic habit that person does, and then you can integrate another simple habit or structure to build upon that. It'll take less effort for that first one if it's already a habit, rather than trying to do everything in one hit. Just be like, all right, let's just build one habit this week. And then week two, let's stack another habit on top of that. And then you've got something there as well. So that's probably one thing as well. The other thing I've found is exercise actually helps me quite a lot too, because post-competition, it's probably the worst time to be isolated, to be honest, because like post-competition, I'm already like pretty smashed from dieting for months anyway, and just... in the mood for eating a bunch of junk, and then gym's closing and everything like that didn't help it a lot. But I guess it's also forcing myself to do a little bit of exercise, even though I didn't feel like it actually quite helped. I found that the days that I did structure some exercise in there, even if it was just like a body weight circuit, like jumping lunges and then squats, and then some pull-ups hanging off the gazebo, and then a bunch of other stuff. Just doing, 45 minutes of that. The rest of the day, I just felt a little bit more energetic, and I felt a lot less inclined to want to eat a lot of junk. So I just felt like my body just felt a bit better, a bit more refreshed. Combining that with drinking more water just kept me fuller. And then those sorts of habits as well can help. So hopefully that helps someone to start off.
I love that first point you made, about that habit stacking. I think right there is how everyone needs to sort of think about it. And it's essentially what I had to do, to be completely honest with you, the first 2 weeks of being at home, I didn't train much at all. I probably trained one, maybe 2 days, and just was not finding the groove. And it wasn't until, I started, all right, well, if I'm not in the mood to train and I'm not getting the motivation to train, at least hit my water. Let's make sure that that's a constant, 3 liters of water every day, no matter what. And you start doing that, and that feels pretty easy. And I go, all right, sweet. Okay, now I'm going to make sure that I hit my 2 to 3 pieces of fruit a day because I love my mandarins. So like I was just making sure that no matter what happened on the outside of that, I would make sure I had 3 mandarins that day, you know, and had just starting to create these little things ongoing. And then before you know it, you start to feel a little bit more normal and you have these little habits that if you do one habit, if you drink the water, it makes you think about the other stuff. And then you have like this nice little, whether it's a morning routine or a whole day routine where, you know, you do one thing and then it leads into the next and then leads into the next. And, you know, you're in control of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like those key habits that sort of spur out and sort of create a whole change, like almost like a ripple effect. Yeah.
Well, it's all really a ripple effect. You know, there's not one thing that leads to a great physique because you do need that balance of muscularity and conditioning. And they're both done through two completely separate avenues. So you do need both and we need to find that balance in between. And yeah, man, I have to say, I think you've found a pretty good balance right now. And I'm being so blessed to have you on, man. How are you working with clients at the moment?
I'm doing online coaching at the moment. So people can contact me through Instagram or just through my website, petehartwig.com.au. And basically, providing exercise, guidance, home training plans, as well as for people if they still have access to a gym or a home gym. And then mostly like dieting advice as well, because I'm a sports nutrition specialist. So can help with that, and then doing regular consults to just keep people accountable and have someone to talk to and bounce strategies off and basically keep on track during this time.
Yeah, and this is the thing, you know, I think people are struggling with, you know, motivation, and they feel like that they don't have the right equipment, and you know, there's like a lot of negative thoughts going on. But if there's one thing that I've always found has helped myself when it comes to just keeping on track, it is that accountability. And that's the one thing that a lot of people have lost now, not being able to sort of take that time to go and see their trainer, not taking that time to go and actually force themselves into a new environment or actually drive to the gym. You know, now they're just sitting at home, and you know, no one can really hold them accountable if they, you know, sort of eat things they know they don't make them feel great, or they don't train. You know, no one's there to tell them, you know, that we can do better. And yeah, finding ways to do that through online has been challenging but fun, and I'm really excited that you've found a way to get that right. Awesome. And my last question for you for the day, man, if you had one piece of advice for people to look and feel their best,
That's difficult. One piece of advice. I guess it's just, if I would probably say, just make sure that you understand the thing that you're aiming at, I guess. So I guess it's just like, I think some people might get motivated or inspired by seeing a physique that they like or whatever. But I guess might not have a really strong reason or internal drive to chase that. It'd be like, oh, that would be long to be super, super ripped. And it might come from like insecurity or somewhere else. But I think it's just like really looking at, you know, is this what I really want? And what am I willing to do to get there? You know, am I willing to commit to, drinking more water and training more and all this sort of stuff? But I think it would come down to just making sure that, is this what you really want? Because working with different clients for so many years, I get a lot of people who are just like adamant. They're just, yeah, I'm really committed to this. I really want to do it. But their behaviors don't match what they're saying as well. So I think sometimes it can come down to, this is actually going to take a lot of work. So, you know, make sure the thing that you're aiming at is something that you actually really do want. And if so, then, you know, write down that goal and then, go for it.
I love that. You know, basically what you're talking about right there is managing the expectation of, you know, what you actually want to look like and feel like and what you want to achieve, and understanding what sort of things you need to do and what are just some non-negotiables that have to happen for you to achieve that. And are you willing to do those things to get there? And if not, let's look at a different goal, because there's nothing wrong like that. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, as much as most, you know, a lot of people would love to look like you, there is not a lot of people willing to train for 20 years non, you know, essentially non-stop and competing over 40 shows. You know, there's a lot of people that are not willing to go that distance, and that's okay. You know, that's really an okay thing for someone. It's much more about what are you able to do given the amount of effort you're able to put in, because, you know, fitness, just like anything else, it's a hobby, and you're going to be better at it, and your physique is a hobby, and you're going to be better at it if the more time and priority you put into that. If you have that, but you're also putting, you know, priority into gaming or priority into, you know, anything else, it's obviously going to take away from
absolutely the... I think that summed it up really well. Like, exactly, it's just like, what can you do with the resources that you're willing to allocate, and then aiming at a goal that's realistic toward that,
and taking that in. And I'm glad there's people like you out there and myself that are just trying to get people's expectations right and manage them and get them to a place that they still feel like they're progressing, you know, even if they never reach that dream body that they have in their mind, they are still on the right path to somewhere great and to looking and feeling their best. Honestly, Pete, I cannot thank you enough for jumping on board. Congrats again on the 2020 Arnold Classic win for Classic Physique. That's just incredible. And I can't wait to see what you're going to be doing in the future. Have you got any ideas for your IFBB Pro League debut? I mean, like, obviously, we haven't got a lot of options right now, but will you be sort of getting back in as soon as it's ready, or are you going to take a bit of time?
Yeah, I haven't really looked that far. At the moment, the main priorities is just getting myself back to normal again, and rehabbing these injuries that I have, and sort of getting into a more steady state. And then once I'm feeling, you know, sort of fit, healthy, and sort of healed and everything again, then looking at, okay, how can I progress further? Yeah. So at the moment, it's I haven't really considered it too far yet.
Yeah, well, I think you've got a little bit of time to sort that out for yourself and relax and enjoy the post-comp regain during lockdown. Pete, absolute pleasure. I can't thank you enough. Hopefully I can get you on again sometime, maybe closer to your IFBB debut.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it, Kyle. It's been great to chat.
No problem at all, my man. Congrats again. Awesome. And can't wait to see what you do.
Thanks. Okay.
Thanks, mate. Thank you so much for letting me in on your morning walk. It has been an absolute pleasure to get some people on here that want to talk to you about health optimization and staying motivated during times like this. I really want people to stay on track with what they're doing. Don't forget how good fitness and enjoyment and exercise is to your lifestyle and to everything that you do. So please keep it as a part of your routine. Use these podcasts to let them join you and to keep you on track and keep your mind on track. If you know anyone that is doing morning walks and is trying to keep their healthy habits on check, I would love for you to share this with them. Please review it, tag me in your stories. It's all going to be super helpful to me getting some amazing guests to talk to you about everything health, fitness, nutrition, and how to get your best body. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.